Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Ellie Pachette, and we'll be talking about her work and her book, Hitching a Ride, A Guide to Earthbound Spirits and How They Affect You. Ellie Pachette is a metaphysician, medium, shaman, an author with more than 33 years experience in the intuitive counseling energy healing field. Clients worldwide benefit from her remote healing in the comfort of their own home or in person at her Orange County home office. Her high success rate of over 93% is in permanently eliminating emotional and physical pain for her clients. Conditions set her apart from other healers, practitioners, and therapists. Ellie's book, Hitching a Ride, A Guide to Earthbound Spirits and How They Affect You, highlights the impact of spirit attachments and negative entities on our emotional and physical well-being. It introduces the Pachette healing technique, which effectively clears these attachments and addresses core issues at the cellular level, providing immediate relief and long-term improvement. For more information, you can visit her website, which is www.phoenixrisinghealing.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Ellie to the show. Good day, Ellie.
Oh, good day, Robert. Thank you for having me on.
It is my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to hearing your stories and experience. It's always been a fascinating topic for me to talk about. So, at the beginning of your career, you provided talk therapy with clients in an inpatient psychiatric facility. So, what attracted you to that type of therapy, and what did you learn from that chapter of your life?
Well, I was deeply curious about people and what makes us in general tick. We're complex, and my experience in the psychiatric setting that I started working in was really fascinating. It was very fast-paced, and I also developed compassion for those who are suffering. So that was part of really what I think what helped me grow was seeing people suffering and feeling compassion for them. And that was really how I got my start.
Yeah. When way back when I was in college, I was a psychology major, and one of my field study kind of activities was doing some work in a psychiatric unit for teenagers. And I remember so clearly that, you know, from that experience, you know, when I left that facility, number one, I felt, you know, like you talked about empathy, I felt real empathy for the people who were stuck there, that they couldn't leave. And also, I think, you know, it just brought home gratitude for me, gratitude that I was, you know, not in that condition.
That's wonderful. Gosh.
Yeah.
As we're talking about this, I still have the visual of and this is like 35 or so years ago, of one of the patients who was being over-medicated and was smoking, and he was so oblivious that he didn't even realize when the cigarette got down to a stub and it was burning his fingers.
Wow. Yeah. That's It really, I think so many people would benefit from just even a small time, a short experience, you know, among people with challenges like that, just to bump up the empathy and compassion, you know, that it seems like we need, you know, in today's world.
Yeah, I agree.
So now after the talk therapy experience, you discovered and trained in several other modalities, healing modalities, Reiki, EMF, the electromagnetic field balancing, and one method of healing. So if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about, that journey and kind of why you added those tools to your tool chest.
That's a great question. Well, I started the first healing technique that I learned was Reiki, and what prompted me to to become certified in that was I was on my way home one day. I was living in Yarmouth, Massachusetts, which is on the Cape Cod, and I came upon a cat who had just been hit by a car and was still, alive, but suffering. And so I pulled over and I went and over to the cat, and fortunately another woman, saw me and the cat, and she also pulled over and helped me carry him over to the side of the road. And then I found a vet and was waiting for the vet to come over and help the cat. And I remember thinking to myself, gosh, if I knew how to send healing energy, there's nothing more that I would want to do in this moment. And so that's what prompted me to learn, to really get my first step in learning how to send healing energy was, to help others.
Wow. That's motivation. but it's interesting, that synchronicity of that happening kind of then, took you to a fork in the road, something else to do. And I think it's interesting how we have sometimes events in our lives that maybe at the moment don't appear to be, particularly, exceptional. But in hindsight, they, point us on to a different point in our journey that we maybe didn't expect to take.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
So then EMF, electromagnetic field balancing, that sounds technical.
Well, before I talk about that briefly, what's really good about Reiki is that, it's an energy kind of healing and balancing technique, but it doesn't really address specific issues and heal specific issues. My experience is that it helps temporarily. And it feels really good, and it balances the person, but I knew that there was a lot more for me to do besides balancing and bringing comfort. I wanted to do a lot more than that, and that's why I moved on from Reiki. Now, the electromagnetic field balancing technique is a very good way to increase the connection of one's personal energy grid with the universal energy grid. And we certainly benefit and can all use as much balance as possible. So that was why I took that, but it's not something I used actively.
Mm.
And because again, it doesn't address specific issues. It increases the connection between the, like I said, the personal energy grid and the universal one, but it doesn't heal issues, which is my passion. The third one, the UN method of healing, came came about the closest, that's when I really discovered, you know what, this is what I'm here for. It's a Chinese method of energetic healing, and it's pretty sophisticated. And what happens is the practitioner sends energy to the client in hopes of, you know, dissolving all, you know, different issues. When I put my technique together, probably like 12 to 15 years ago at this point, I took all three of those and brought them much further than either, you know, than any of them. And that's when I named my Pochette healing technique, which is really, it's really advanced. And what I pride myself on is being able to literally dissolve a core issue. It could be a memory, painful memory. It could be a painful relationship with a sibling or an ex, emotional issues, physical issues, whatever is most important and the highest priority gets addressed and healed every session when I'm working with clients.
Great. So that's a healing technique that you've combined bits and pieces of the three Reiki, EMF in one methods?
Yes, and then took everything I had learned, like 10 steps forward, put my own abilities on mm-hmm. it, and that's why I'm able to get such accurate, well, not just accurate, but effective results every session. And it's the work I do is always very grounded, so the person doesn't have to wonder if the issue that I cleared for them really worked or what it's going to do. I mean, that's what I pride myself on, is literally healing an issue every session. And I use a pain scale. So they might start, say, the client has a conflict with her sister, and the anger or sadness might be at a 9 or 10 when we start out. And as I'm working with her, it starts going down. So that by the end of the session, that anger or sadness, whatever it is, will be down to usually like a 1, and it will continue to go down the rest of the way after the session. In fact, there's an entire recalibration of their system for the next 2 to 4 days every time I work with them. So it's really significant, and I also balance them and raise their vital life force. So it's a lot every session, and they make progress quite quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's always been, I think, a challenge for people who work in the healing profession, is the ability to have, for the patient, I guess, to have recognizable results, you know, relatively soon after a treatment, because that's, you know, for most people, I think, you know, long-term effects, you know, are okay, but, you know, we're pretty much a, you know, instant kind of society right now. And, you know, so if, you know, a patient or customer were able to recognize an improvement, you know, during or shortly, very shortly thereafter, then it's easier to, you know, for them to recognize the benefit of that particular type of therapy or process.
Exactly. I mean, when people get results, you know, it's motivating, it's gratifying, and they know that what they're doing is working, and So yeah, they don't have to wonder or hope that it works. I mean, they that's why I use the pain scale, so that it's very clear, very obvious that it, that whatever I'm clearing for them is working and it lasts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. So now, in addition to your healing work, you've also discovered your mediumship abilities, and I'm always, in awe of individuals who can, tap into that type of connection. So, for you, when did you discover your mediumship abilities?
Sitting in a mediumship circle with a spiritualist church group many, many years ago. We were sitting quietly and the lights were very dim, and I started getting messages for people that were in the circle. That's how it started.
Wow. So now, with this work, do you have any, what would be maybe one of your most memorable experiences with mediumship?
Sure. Well, I recently worked with a mother and daughter by phone who had lost the mother's husband, who was the daughter's stepfather, and she was very close to him. And the mother was very shut down, having trouble functioning. Her grief was so intense. And so I could read a quote that the daughter left me after, if you like.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so she writes, her name is Bridget, and she writes, "After being assured Ellie would be able to help my mother and myself, I reached out to Phoenix Rising Healing with some skepticism. Within 45 seconds of my mom telling her she was frustrated, Ellie hit on something she could not have known about." She wrote that in capitals. "And when she used the title of the song that our loved one wrote to describe him, it blew us away." 3 exclamation points. "She had no way of knowing anything, and I will stand on sacred ground with my hand on a Bible to defend the peace and love she shared. 100% enlightening experience." Exclamation.
Wow. It seems like you did well by them.
Yeah.
Well, for some people, first of all, skepticism would be very common, I would think, among people who have little to no experience with mediums or mediumship. And, it's one of those cases where only when, something happens that, that the individual knows that nobody else could know, that kind of brings it home in a way. It's show me, give me a good experience, and then I'll believe. Rather than, believe and then show me, it's just show me, then the belief comes after that.
Yes, and Robert, that is referred to as evidence in the world of mediumship, is being able to give something tangible that is evidential that you have a connection with the person who has died.
Yeah, yeah. I remember years ago, this was like, almost 30 years ago, I was working in the corporate world, and one of my coworkers wanted, there was a kerfuffle at the corporate world and things were really kind of topsy-turvy. And she found out I had done tarot cards for myself. And she asked me if I knew of a psychic, because she really needed a reading. At that time I did not know of one. And the company that was creating problems was based in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and we were in Irvine. Spartanburg, South Carolina, and we were in Irvine, California. That weekend, I went down to San Diego to visit a friend of mine because, you know, it was just driving me crazy with all that Spartanburg stuff. And then my friend, she was a CEO of a credit union and often told me that, you know, I was free to stay at her place whenever, and I had a key. And so anyway, I told her I was going to come down for the weekend and didn't know of, you know, when I called her, she said, well, she had a meeting and she couldn't meet me, but to go out and have a drink and we'd meet at her place later. I didn't know of a place that I could really find for a drink and get to her place, because I'm very directionally dysfunctional. There was one paper in the back of my car from a bowling tournament. Went to this place. Within a couple of minutes, I met someone who did readings, and it was a Southern accent, and within a couple of minutes, where are you from? He said, Spartanburg, South Carolina. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, so, I mean, and it was crazy. I was able to go back to work on Monday and say, listen, you know, what you asked me on Friday, you know, it kind of showed up on you know, Friday night. So, but, I mean, and when that individual came up to do a reading for her, you know, I wasn't sure kind of a strength of ability. But when I opened up the door to see if they wanted a glass of wine or something, I heard her say, how in the world did you know that? No one else knows that. And, you know, so that's when I kind of knew it was working. But it was, to make a long story short, that's one of those cases where, you know, if an individual can tap into something that, you know, the person knows is not general knowledge, can't be found on the internet, you know, or just that then opens up, I think, the doorway to, you know, understanding and believing, you know, kind of what's coming forward. So my question to you now, after all of that, is, where do you think that information, like the information you were able to garner for her and her mother, where do you think that information lies? I mean, you know, what's the where is it that it is drawn from?
Well, it's my ability to tap into a much higher level of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see and also hear on a higher level when I link up is what
mm-hmm.
I call.
Okay.
Yeah. So then they'll start, people that are deceased will start talking with me, and I act as the bridge, you know, to bring comfort and hope to their loved one who is here on the earth plane, feeling confused and really needing to hear from them.
Yeah. Now, when that happens, you know, the person who wrote to you, wrote that testimonial, you know, talked about peace and love kind of as a result of that. Is that, from your experience, is that generally kind of the result? I mean, does that what I guess the goal of the connection is?
You know, I don't I'm really just there to serve and bring mm-hmm. communication to the person that's looking for the mediumship.
So it's up to them, I guess, to whatever they take from it.
Yeah, I mean, the messages usually are really assuring and informative. Again, I'm really just the bridge between their loved one and them, and that alone brings a tremendous amount of comfort.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, to have that feeling that the loved one is kind of still around, still a loved one, no matter if, even if they're not there in the physical form.
Yeah, and hopefully they've gone to the other side. And if they haven't gone to the other side and are coming back having done their life review and that type of thing, then I can help them go to the other side. And that's where the shamanic work that I do comes in, is for people, for souls that die and get stuck here.
Yeah, that was my next question, as far as shamanic work. Can you tell us, is what you just described, the ability to help someone, move on, is that just one example of shamanic work? I mean, tell us a little bit about, your work as a shaman, what that entails.
Yeah. So the shamanic work that I do is primarily in, what my book is about. And I wrote the book in order to increase the public's awareness that, there's a lot more here on the earth plane than meets the eye. So my primary focus as a shaman is in identifying and guiding spirits that have become stuck here to the light, so that they can continue to progress as a soul and not be stuck. That's very important. And the way that I discovered that I'm a shaman is, I didn't go looking for this. I was sitting with a regular counseling client in my private practice many years ago, and all of a sudden I became aware that there was the spirit of an older woman within her, not just around her, but within her. And I was able to see her, and then I proceeded to energetically join her. So I went inside of the client, and that's one of my abilities, is I can pretty much astro travel anywhere on the earth where I'm needed, and I often use that ability with wildlife. But that's maybe a topic for another day. But in this case, with this client, I found myself inside of the client dialoguing with the older woman and letting her know, I really was encouraging her to leave and to let me help guide her to the light so that she could go home and be free and not stuck. And eventually, she did. She let me, and I remember to this day literally carrying her out of the client and then having her guides take her home to the light. And this was nothing I've ever read about or it just happened so spontaneously. And that was the start of my work as a shaman.
Wow. That woman inside, our energetic woman inside, was she in any way connected to your client? I mean, like in an ancestral kind of way?
No.
Okay.
That's a good question. I talk about that in my book, Hitching a Ride. There are random spirit attachments and there are karmic spirit attachments. And she was a random spirit attachment, which means that, there was something about my client that resonated with the spirit, and she just felt comfortable around her. And what they'll do is they'll start out hovering around a person and kind of like hanging out with them, but they can't be seen. And that's the problem. And then if they are like, well, hey, you know, this is pretty good. Now I've got somewhere to be, and they can just so easily, because their energy completely energetic, right? Mm-hmm. They drop the body, and so they can very easily slip into an unsuspecting person, and that's where the problems start.
Wow, I would think so. Now, what are the conditions? What were some of the conditions your client may have been experiencing that allowed the spirit to enter?
She was depressed and had some anxiety. So, you know, if those things resonated for the spirit who entered, then that would have been a natural fit, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, if we want to kind of beef up our energy, you know, to not be so attractive, what are some of the things that listeners may want to consider doing or employing to, you know, to try and make sure something like that doesn't happen, or to make it harder for something like that to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's important to know how to protect one's energy field and also heal one's issues. The people that have trauma from their childhoods or even from a very difficult relationship, when they're in the lower vibrations of sadness, depression, anxiety, etc., they naturally become more vulnerable to spirits attaching to them,
mm-hmm.
compared to, you know, someone who is stronger and healthy and has a good outlook and knows how to, I mean, they will protect themselves naturally. They don't even have to necessarily learn how to do it. If they're in a good frame of mind, their attitude and their thoughts are positive, and they're in a good place, they're much less likely to attract a spirit attachment.
Okay. Well, that's good to know for people who are listening. Now, what are some reasons why a spirit?
Are you breaking up a little?
I'm sorry. Are you there?
You're breaking up.
Okay. How's this? Better?
That's better. Yeah,
okay.
That's good.
What are some of the reasons a spirit might become stuck between the two planes of existence?
Yeah, that's a really wonderful question. So a shocking death, like a car accident, a murder, or an accidental drug overdose are ways that a person can die and get stuck here, because they're completely unprepared to transition. They haven't had time to get ready to, you know, to leave the body in a normal way and move on to the light. Another way that people can get stuck here is by refusing to leave because they're afraid. Perhaps they come from a religious background that teaches people to fear God and to be afraid they're going to be punished for any transgressions they did while here when they die. And so they may be afraid to leave the earth plane and then become stuck here.
Hmm. Wow. You know, those are a couple I could understand why, you know, someone might become stuck, a spirit might become stuck because of that. And now, you mentioned earlier in our discussions something about a life review. And, you know, I've heard it said, you know, that once we die, that a life review is something that is a common experience. When that happens, well, first of all, you know, do you feel that that is something that kind of like maybe one of, you know, the first steps, you know, in that transition?
I do.
Okay.
And it's really important that souls go through that, because the whole point of coming to Earth is to learn lessons, to develop their soul. So they have to have that review when they die to see, you know, how they did, which lessons they learned, what things they would have done differently. I mean, that's how we grow and develop.
Yeah. Now, in that, when that happens, you know, like you say, sometimes you look at things you maybe would have done differently. Where does judgment kind of fall into this? You know, in the sense that, you know, when reviewing certain life experiences, you know, we may kind of judge our actions to have been, you know, not very, you know, helpful, you know, or useful, you know, to either us or to another party involved. Does looking at that without judging the experience, is the part of the experience to judge?
No,
the response?
No.
Okay.
No, there's a difference between discernment and judgment. Judgment is like the finger shaking, it's shaming and it creates bad feelings. But discernment is really being open to learning from the experience. And that's what the life review is really about, is learning how could I have done things differently and what did I learn from this? There is no judgment.
Good. Okay, well, you know, I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, for some people, you know, the idea, you know, judgment is, you know, if you look around, you know, judgment is everywhere around us, and
yes,
particularly in religious doctrine or the dogma of certain religions, judgment kind of is way up there on the list of things to consider.
Yeah, but that's not what we're here for. We're not here to make each other right and wrong. We're here to learn how to love better and how to love and connect with each other and have compassion and respect. And,
those
are the things that make us feel good.
Well, good. Well, you know, I wanted to kind of throw that out there for listeners who may, you know, have some reservations, you know, about doing a review, even before passing, you know, if one does a life review while still alive, you know, looking at, you know, our path, our decisions, our choices, and being able to, you know, like you say, view them with discernment versus viewing them judgmentally. I think it would make a big difference in kind of how we move forward with you know, our future choices.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, if we have the awareness that we are going to be accountable for our actions when we're on the other side, then we're more likely to be responsible about everything, you know, our thoughts, our words, our actions while we're here. And don't we need an extra helping of being responsible these days?
Absolutely, absolutely, very much so. Now, we're getting close to the end of the show, Ellie. So I understand that you have a testimonial from one of your clients, and her experience would, you know, probably help listeners understand the impact that you can have. So would you mind playing that for us?
Sure. One second. Here we go.
So this is a second testimonial for Ellie, because now she has worked with my entire family. Can you hear it?
Yes, I can.
Here's a quick recap. I found Ellie in November.
Her name is Leanne.
After listening to a recording of Barbara Marciniak, and in that recording they were talking about entity attachments and demonic attachments and all these, like, unseen entities that are always around us and how to get rid of them. And someone mentioned Ellie's book and the work that she does. So I looked her up because I, for several months, was having issues with an attachment. It turned out to be demonic, but whatever this thing was started attacking me physically. It was hitting me in my stomach. I was having suicidal ideations. Wanted to kind of tear me apart from my family, dark thoughts, all kinds of things. And I'm not a depressed person. I don't suffer from any kind of anxiety or anything like that. So it was pretty profound. It was pretty apparent that, like, something was attached to me. And I had one session, and it was everything was gone after one session. I mean, within the session, I could feel, like, my stomach easing up. The pain was gone. It happened that night. And she also worked on my husband, who had an attachment as well. And he suffered from anxiety and, like, anger issues and just this, like, foggy brain, avoiding things, just always feeling, you know, didn't want to be around everybody. And that took about a week to kind of notice. Like, it kind of took about a week, week and a half, but he has dramatically improved. Like, he's not suffering from any kind of anxiety. He's not overwhelmed easily. He's not getting worked up about stuff. He's not spending all the time in the bedroom. He's actually out and about and more motivated. I mean, that's remarkable. But the biggest, the most notable improvement in our house is the fact that she worked with both of my daughters, specifically my oldest daughter. My oldest daughter has some trauma, some issues from when I was younger, or when she was younger, and that has to do with me and left her dad, et cetera, et cetera. And so she had a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of defensiveness. She was bullying her sister, younger sister, all the time. Just, you know, she was just a difficult person to be around. I mean, I would try to get through to her that there was always tension between her and I. You know, and this just disrupt, like, a toxic cycle between the both of us. She would trigger me, I would trigger her. And Ellie had one session with her, one session. And it's remarkable. It's remarkable. Like, there's no, it's like almost a different person. She did a 180 completely, and that was within a couple days I noticed it. She is not bullying her sister anymore. She's still an older sister, right? And they're older teens, so she's still, you know, well, pick on her, but she doesn't. It doesn't stick. It's not like vicious like she was before. She's not like, "Rah!" She'll just, like, poke at her sister, and that's it. It's over with. The relationship between her and I dramatically improved. We talk. She communicates. She tells me her thoughts and feelings. My youngest daughter also had a session with Ellie, and she needs a couple more sessions, and I could tell that she does, but. You know, my youngest one had a couple, a little bit of confidence issues, self-love issues, things, you know, issues that resulted from how her older sister treated her. But one session, you could see my youngest daughter having a little bit more confidence, a little bit standing, like a little bit more assertive. She doesn't feel so doubtful of herself. Like you could see the difference. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, yeah, working with Ellie has literally transformed and changed this entire family. Our house feels amazing. The vibe, everybody's just vibing. Everybody's relaxed. I can't say enough. So if you're thinking about getting a session with her, 100% do it. It is so worth it. You will not regret it. It's like she's so fast. Like she gets right to the point and it's noticeable. It's not like you're guessing, like, oh, did this work? Did this not work? No, it works. You can see the difference immediately. So yeah, if you're thinking about it, go for it. Don't hesitate. Just go ahead and do it because she gets it done. She gets it done. Whatever talent, whatever she does, she just gets it done.
Oh, that's positive. Yeah. Well, you know, and you can tell the sincerity in her voice, you know, of you know, the impact that it made for her and her family. And and that's, I think, you know, definitely one of the things to consider is not only would an individual be helping themselves, but it also impacts the family unit as well.
That's right. Yep.
Well, this has really been a treat speaking with you, Ellie. I really appreciate you spending time with us and telling us about your experience, your work, now if people want to get in touch with you, they can obviously do that through your website. Is there, are you on social media as well, or?
Yeah, you know, I don't do too much social media, but they're free to contact me through my website. I've got my, you know, my phone number is on the homepage, and my
Great.
Email is on there. And do you want to give the website again, or you want me to?
Yeah, the website is www.phoenixrisinghealing.com.
Yes.
So, and you also have a wonderful video of you right there. Excuse me, that people can actually see you, and I think that also helps. That helps in communicating, you know, the sincerity of you and your work.
Well, thank you, Robert.
You're welcome. Well, again, thank you for joining us. And again, everyone, you can find out more about Ellie by visiting her website, www.phoenixrisinghealing.com. And you can also check out her book, which is Hitching a Ride, A Guide to Earthbound Spirits and How They Affect You. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show.